Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Well, welcome to the Side Action, episode 53. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast on Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, how was your weekend? We're way late in the week, so you can tell me anything.
Yeah, it was nice. Took my girl out to Las Vegas for the weekend, so we had a great time. Watched some football, watched a little basketball. Saw O at Bellagio
and okay.
Had a nice dinner date at the Bellagio beforehand. So it was a great weekend.
Got
a little bit of sun too, which was nice. So how about you?
Well, as we've chronicled a lot before the podcast, it was a crazy weekend. I was in New Orleans Thursday for work into Friday. I've just had a lot of, you know, late nights lately. And then I went to Miami to go visit, to see a friend for their birthday. And we had pretty good time the first night, then it kind of blew up the second night, so unfortunately the weekend ended negatively. And as you know, also had a death in the family, so it's been a little rough this week. So for me, you know, all you loyal listeners, there's not as much Wegs content this week. Did not do any prep really, so thank you, Action, for picking up the mantle here.
Yeah, well, very sorry to hear, and hopefully we can talk a little sports and let you escape from life for an hour or so.
Right. I appreciate that. Let's go over the episode. I actually have a minor legislative, well, it's more of an industry update. We've got college football recap and our normal stuff with SB Plus injuries, then a couple of spots, a little less than normal. We're going to hit a little bit on NCAA hoops and the Action Power ratings, and then we'll jump into the NFL, general information. We'll do the net yards per play, and then talk about the circuit contest. So quite a bit of content, but maybe a little shorter than normal.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. You know, we both like to talk, so we'll see.
That's right. That's why we're on here. The industry update is just that I understand that William Hill has purchased another big operator in Las Vegas, and so that sale is going to – they were already the biggest operator, but they're going to just kind of take over that one end of the strip. And, you know, it's got to pass legislative or whatever, regulatory stuff, but William Hill was becoming a gigantic almost monopolistic entity in the gambling world.
Yeah, it sounds like they're taking over a number of different spots on the Strip. Cosmopolitan, I know, was one of them. And Treasure Island, I think, was on that list. But essentially now, if you're going to gamble on the Strip, sports gaming, that is, you really only have two choices. It's going to be William Hill or MGM, because William Hill will take over all the Caesars books very soon as well.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that. So, I mean, good for them. They're gobbling it up, and they obviously can see it's a frothy industry. So, lots of profits to be made.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, I think it's good, but a lot of sharp bettors I know are frustrated by it because they have historically been one to shut out sharp bettors, and they don't let them gamble at William Hill. So, any of those folks are going to have dwindling places where they can place their bets.
Right. Well, maybe they'll go out of state, go to different states to do that now.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, let's jump into the college spots. Last week, we kind of had a mixed bag. Looks like we went 4-4, 5-4 with the total. Our misses were Navy. Boy, that was a big miss. Notre Dame came out and destroyed Navy. That was a little surprising to me and you, I suppose.
Yeah, a few turnovers early on really did them in.
Mm-hmm. Alabama covered easily over Mississippi State. They rocked the house. Of course, we'll talk in a minute. Huge injury. They did get the win and covered, but could hurt their long-term prospect. Indiana, they came through just like we hoped against Penn State. They were kind of in the mix there, and the game did sail over the 54.5, so that was a good one for us. You got, man, Louisiana Lafayette, man, I was too late to the party, and they really didn't play well. They did end up winning the game, though, but they were not even close to that 28.5 against South Alabama. And Minnesota, yep, they laid an egg in Iowa. Iowa played really well. And what did they lose, by 4 points in that game?
Yeah, it was 4, the final.
Yeah, so we missed that one. But Florida killed Missouri, as kind of expected. Memphis also beat Houston pretty handily. And then surprisingly, Kansas State did not play that great against West Virginia, and they did not cover their 14-point margin. They won that game, though, right?
Kansas State lost. No.
They lost.
Big time upset. Yeah.
Lost outright. I don't even know how that happens with the Mountaineers, but I guess it was a letdown, you know, after the big the Texas loss, right? Or the Oklahoma loss, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Kansas State had been playing well. It's definitely an aberration for sure.
That's right. So in the SP Plus, we've got, you know, not massive change. It just seems like every time we check on here, Ohio State's further from the pack, but it's a 37.2 in this rating. That's insane.
Yeah. Now they would be 4-point favorites on a neutral field over Alabama and 7 mm-hmm. over LSU, which I think would be awful surprising if we actually see that come to fruition.
No doubt. Alabama still 2. We'll see how that gets impacted. Then LSU, then Clemson. So Clemson's starting to pick up steam here. Georgia at 5. Obviously, they've got some big games ahead. Oklahoma, Penn State, Utah's in there. They got a big game coming up. Florida and Michigan. Michigan creeps in there. So any surprises that you see on the SP Plus?
Yeah, Penn State, I think, seems like an outlier on this list. Really, I think their results have been higher than what their actual team is like. Another poor performance against Indiana, where they probably really should have lost the game, mm-hmm. followed up by that poor performance they had at Minnesota. So
right.
I think they're going to be in a little bit of trouble this weekend in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that'll be an interesting game to see. It really, to me, is who's going to be number one, you know, in this whole thing. I don't think Minnesota or Wisconsin could beat Ohio State. So, and Michigan, who knows, they're playing better, but maybe this will be the one year. But this seems to be the toughest test. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's interesting to see Georgia get there too in Clemson. So it is kind of bunched at the top, and it does kind of seem to come down to what's going to happen in that SEC championship and who's going to make the Final Four here. But a few games to go.
Yeah, it's nice that these two teams have to play each other, being LSU and Georgia, and we'll see who comes out on top in that one.
For the injuries, the one we've kind of alluded to, Alabama had Tua got hurt. He broke his hip, and it was kind of a dangerous injury, wasn't it? It was kind of I heard it likened to the Bo Jackson injury, which ended his career. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it was a little bit more positive with the surgery, but unfortunately that's going to really impact Tua, and I can't see him going number one overall anymore. Can you?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of folks on the airwaves this week saying that he should think about coming back to school and playing next mm-hmm. year. Of course, then mm-hmm. he'll go into the same class as Trevor Lawrence, but I do believe it might help him to come back and show the NFL scouts that he can actually return from that hip injury.
Right. It was just kind of a freak play. It wasn't related to his other injury, but sometimes those things compound in some ways. You've got another Alabama injury with the wide receiver Henry Ruggs. He left the bruised ribs, but maybe he can come back. Mm-hmm. Clemson wideout Justin Ross, who also has a rib injury. It's going around. Some of the other big ones, you got a lot of wide receiver injuries here. Yeah. Action?
Yeah.
Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia wide receiver Lawrence Cager left the game versus Auburn with an upper body. And Indiana's top wide receiver, Wap Fillier, left the game early. I think it was in the first quarter against Penn State. And he's questionable for this weekend. And then in that same game, Penn State receiver KJ Hamler left with an injury that was unspecified as well. And he's probably their only game breaker on that side of the ball. So without him, I think they're even more in trouble against Ohio State.
Right. And then Minnesota quarterback, looks like he got knocked out. He must be in some sort of concussion protocol then.
Yeah, this line is very interesting. They play at Northwestern this weekend, and it's sitting right at about 13 right now. Initially, I was planning on jumping on it, but I'm mm-hmm. definitely not going to be playing them if I can't read that Tanner Morgan's going to be playing.
Right, exactly. Any of these other ones you want to mention? The Stanford guy?
The Stanford quarterback, Costello. They have Cal on deck this weekend, and I was leaning mm-hmm. towards Cal. Would be watching that one. If Costello doesn't play, I would probably like Cal quite a bit in that one.
Okay. So what spots do you like this week in college football?
Well, we've been riding them over and over again, and I think I'm going to do it again. Indiana ticked up to 10 points this morning. They face off against the Michigan Wolverines in probably one of the biggest games in Bloomington in my memory. I know my family is very pumped for it. And on the other side, you've got Michigan coming in a major sandwich spot. They had a big win against Michigan State last weekend. And now next week, they've got Ohio State in the game. So,
right.
In fact, I heard on the radio here just today that Shea Patterson had an interview and didn't even mention the Indiana game, just said that they can't wait to get to Columbus and play Ohio State or play against Ooh. Ohio State.
Look ahead spot. That's good. Yeah, I like that too. Of course, I love Indiana. They've been cashing tickets for us all season.
Yeah.
The other one you've got is Arizona State playing Oregon. Is this another look ahead spot, or is this just a you just like Arizona State in this one?
Yeah, plus four. Kind of a situational spot. Historically, Oregon does not fare well in the trip to Tempe, and I think Arizona State is a little bit undervalued as they've lost a couple of really close games the last 2 weeks. They had a mm-hmm. chance to beat Oregon State over the weekend and went for two and missed it. And then the week before that, their quarterback Jaden Daniels was out. So I think that they're getting over two touchdowns. It's 14.5 now, maybe 14 in most places. But SP Plus has this closer to 9. So I think that there's pretty good value with Arizona State at home. You got Herm Edwards, who will certainly get this team up for a big game against Oregon.
For sure, for sure. I haven't reviewed a lot of games, but just flipping through here, a couple that are of interest to discuss maybe – Texas A&M's going to Georgia. That's a 13-point favorite. Georgia's favored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A&M's a solid team. Like I said, they had one of the worst schedules in the country, and this continues that. Georgia seems to be riding high. They've already won the SEC East. Now, granted, they still want to play into the playoff, but 13's a lot of points for, you know, an A&M team that's decent, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is the first time that Georgia has had to play Texas A&M since they joined the SEC. Because it's a crossover game. They play only once every 8 years. So this will actually be the first matchup between these two schools. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring. Georgia is certainly going to look to run the ball. And Texas A&M will play that smash mouth game as well. So I like this one under quite a bit.
Nice. And then the only other game I'd probably, you know, look into, I haven't done enough research, is Tennessee and Missouri. Tennessee is getting 4 points on the road. They're not fantastic, but Missouri just, I'm not impressed with their game, and they're just playing really poorly. That's one I would kind of look at. They've been able to cash a couple tickets for me lately against them. So it's not an auto fade like West Virginia, but it is one of those things. The Vols are kind of sneaky. They're better at home, but I think that Missouri could have another letdown there.
Yeah, not a bad look. Another huge spread in the SEC. You've got LSU at home against Arkansas laying a huge number, 43.5. So
that is insane.
Very interesting. I'm not sure how motivated LSU is going to be to run it up this weekend.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, let's transition into, I know it's your favorite college sport, NCAA basketball. You've been killing it so far using your action power ratings. We talked about it, was it last week? Yeah, with our special episode.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, if you didn't check it out, check it out. We have a special college basketball preview. And you want to run down your top 10 for your power ratings?
Yeah, Michigan State currently updated this afternoon. So Michigan State currently number one, and they're just slightly ahead of number two, Duke, followed by Gonzaga, Louisville, and North Carolina in the top five. And then you've got Kentucky, Virginia, and Texas Tech. And the final two, Arizona, which has been surprisingly very good this year. I've been impressed with that team. The freshman point guard, Nico Mannion, is awesome and quite a player. And then Purdue, number 10, which I think is a little bit surprising still to me. I don't think this team is quite as talented as they were last season. But their metrics are up there, mostly buoyed by strong rebounding numbers at this point.
Right. And that's, for those who haven't caught that episode, that's kind of how the action power ratings work, a little differently than KenPom, a little more weighting on rebounding. And you'll see that in the results. You know, the Kentucky, I guess it was after our episode last week, you know, they got beat, you know, at home against Evansville, which is nuts. And then they almost, well, I don't know if they lost, but there was a close game against Utah Valley.
Yeah.
So this Kentucky team is not playing ball. I mean, they, you know, there's my national championship pick. not looking too great in November.
Yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about them. I think this happens to Coach Calipari's teams every year. He gets a whole crop of freshmen that come in, and they struggle throughout November. But year in and year out, once February rolls around, he's got them rocking and rolling and playing pretty serious defense. So I fully expect they'll come around again this season.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's our light touch on NCAA basketball. We'll do a little more detailed stuff, probably start in December, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know, as college football kind of tails off.
One spot that I am looking ahead to this Saturday morning is Virginia playing in Connecticut on a neutral against Massachusetts. And I've been going under in every Virginia game this season, and I'll probably do so again this weekend. It looks like KenPom is projecting 105 points. And usually the lowest total I've seen on a Virginia game is about 114. And if it opens up around that same number this week, I'm going to hammer it on Saturday morning.
Right, right. That's awesome. For most of our new listeners, the lines for college basketball come out, what, a day in advance, maybe 2 days at the tops?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the game. Some of them get a little bit longer lead time, but usually BetOnline is first to market about 3 o'clock Eastern time the day before the games.
Exactly. So we try to do on the podcast is kind of predict roughly where the game will be at, you know, based on either KenPom stuff or just our own stuff. And then those are the segments we're trying to look. It's hard to, we don't do a podcast every day. So keep on track. So. All right, well, let's go to the NFL now. Recap for week 11. Couple of things. You were talking about the Chiefs against the Chargers. I tell you, Phillip Rivers is done. He's a bum. I knew he was a bum a few years ago, but I don't know what is going on with that dude. That one play where he almost kind of did the tuck thing where he threw it down to the straight down to the ground and that terrible interception. But it was 24-17. They were hung in there, but it's almost like they'd have a better shot with Tyrod Taylor in there.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times this week too. I don't know if they're going to get rid of Rivers in season, but I certainly don't think he'll be the starting quarterback there next year. He looks done and toasted. And I heard a joke this morning if they had him drive back from Mexico City to San Diego in his RV.
I know, exactly. It's hilarious. I've heard many people saying go home to your 9 kids or whatever. Yeah. But anyway. But overall, this past week, week 11 was heavy for the favorites, you know, straight up 12-2, 9-4-1 against the spread. And, you know, Vegas, or at least the books everywhere, took a beating. We didn't do well in our circuit contest, but the books definitely took a beating for once.
Well, that's because you and I identify with sharps, Wiggs.
We only like underdogs, right? Yeah. So what are the other overall numbers? Looks like you got 70-4 against the spread for underdogs. So it's still, the dogs are still leading.
Yeah, still dominating 55% on the season. And the road teams were good again this week, 8-4 ATS, and have a pretty commanding lead as well, 57% against the spread. So, and the over-unders are almost dead even, 51% for the unders right now.
Right. So we maybe we'll see some regression. It's hard to say. I mean, it's been unpredictable at best. We don't have any major injuries of note. I guess I'm trying to think. So before the last one, when did we do the last podcast?
Wednesday.
We missed the whole thing with helmet in the head, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Myles Garrett suspended for the season.
Exactly. So Myles Garrett, I'm sure everybody who watches sports knows that he had an altercation with Mason Rudolph. Now he's saying that he used a racial slur. I don't know if that's warrants grabbing the guy's helmet and trying to bash his head in with it, but he's suspended indefinitely. And but Pouncey is too, which is going to hurt the Steelers. So there's a couple suspensions.
I did see that Pouncey's suspension was reduced from 3 games down to 2 today.
Okay. That's helpful. Any other injuries of note? I think Marlon Mack's hurt for your squad, isn't he?
Yeah, I haven't read whether he's going tonight or not. They play Houston recording here on Thursday night. And I did see that T.Y. Hilton's going to be in the lineup, so that'll be helpful for the Colts.
Right. But no other major injuries of note that I can think of. Not that, like some weeks we've just been decimated. So why don't you jump in the net yards per play for, you know, through week 11?
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are taking a commanding lead here, 1.5 yards per play net. And right behind them is San Francisco at 1.1. And then the rest of the top of the league falls in Kansas City at 0.9 and the LA Rams at 0.9. Mm-hmm. Baltimore and Minnesota and New England are all tied at 0.8 net yards per play.
Well, it's interesting because the Rams must be doing it with their defense because that offense looks terrible. I mean, the Bears defense is solid, but man, that game was ugly to watch Sunday night. So that's interesting that they're almost a full yard above. It's got to be the D.
Yeah, and then the defense holds opponents to 4.8. The offense is kind of middle of the pack at 5.7.
Right. And then obviously Baltimore, I guess I'm a little surprised because they've just been destroying the universe. I mean, they crushed Houston. That was one of our big misses. Big surprise that they just pummeled them in that game. Although I heard it was like 0-0 after the first quarter or something. So all that scoring was through the last three quarters.
Yeah, yeah. It was on the over and that one didn't come through.
Yeah, yeah. On the bottom end, again, up, Miami's back at the bottom again with Cincinnati, minus 1.8. The Giants, Washington, Jets, stop me when you heard this before, and then the Bears and Arizona. So, yeah, it's not great. Looks like the Colts ticked up after their big output last week, huh?
The Colts defense has been picking up a little bit. I think that's really where they're picking the slack up on this metric, is that defense is holding opponents down. And the offense still not very good, ranked 22nd in yards per play on offense. So the defense is playing better. Darius Leonard is back, and they really took it to Jacksonville last weekend, which was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, they scored a lot of points. They don't usually do that. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett came back in, and I don't know if it's more of an indictment on the Jags defense or the Colts offense, but they ran all over them. Did they run for like 260 yards or something like that?
Yeah, they did. And another surprising result, San Francisco's defense is looking a little bit mediocre now in the last couple of games. Arizona was able to move the ball on them, and that was one of the sickest beats of the NFL season with the last second touchdown to push on the spread. Most people had 10. My girl had Arizona plus 10, her team, and ended up pushing on the bet and horrific fashion.
Yeah, that's just bad officiating, in my opinion. I don't even think they looked at it. No. But
and it was
just like, oh, the game's over.
It was clear to me that San Francisco's defender was down, too, before the ball flipped miraculously towards the end zone and they ran it in for six.
Weird. Okay, well, there's no WEGS index this week. Sorry, everybody. But we'll be back next week. Get it out there before Thanksgiving. Let's review the spots. We did have a decent spot. The Rams-Bears, you had the first half under at 20.5, and, of course, the under for the game. That was just a brutal game to watch and a low score.
Yeah, I went up to the window that night thinking I was going to put a little bit more on Chicago money line in the first half, but as soon as I got to the Mirage ticket window, I realized that the number had come down, and thankfully I thought, well, I'll just put more on the first half under. So that was nice. I had a little double scoop on that one.
Attaboy. Well, as we transition to our circuit contest, we didn't do well. 1-4.
That's okay.
That's not good when the consensus goes 4-1, is it, Action?
No, we had a rough week for sure. But I think that we can take a look at this and realize that we're probably out of it for the season long. And we can shift our focus to that last quarter, which is actually 5 weeks, weeks 13 through 17. So
that's right.
Really, I hate to say it, but this week probably really doesn't matter much to us in the contest, at least.
It doesn't. Just sharpening skills and talking about football. So, well, let's get into it. I guess the first one isn't really listed on here because we're taping, but the I guess it's the Colts and Texans. Colts are... they're 3.5-point dogs on the road to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Since it's your team, any thoughts on that game?
Not really. I mean, it sure seems like Houston is in a good bounce-back spot after the tough loss at Baltimore last week. But at the same time, Indianapolis has really had their number in the last couple of years, and even on the road in the playoffs last year, they beat them down. So can't wait to watch it, and I do fully expect Houston will pull out a victory, but I'm not sure that I would be playing this on the spread either way.
Right, right. Good stay away spot on those Thursday games. Well, let's get into the regular slate for our picks this weekend. We've got Carolina is going to New Orleans. Carolina's getting 9.5. That was one of those outcomes last week that was a little surprising. You've got the total at 47. Carolina got just lambasted by Atlanta. I don't know. I've heard what Atlanta has done at the break. We could talk about them in a minute, but Carolina has come crashed back to earth. You know, I was against Carolina at the beginning of the season. Then they had that run with Kyle Allen, and now they seem to be coming back to earth and playing like crap.
Yeah, Kyle Allen really seems like has hit his wall, and they haven't been playing very well the last couple of weeks, and they really haven't been using McCaffrey as much. It seems like he's probably running out of gas as well.
Yeah.
So it's tough for the Carolina Panthers, and I do think that if we are going to play this game, it's got to be the Saints.
Yeah, I'd be on the Saints there. I mean, they didn't cover the 1 week we picked them.
Right.
But they covered last week easily, and they've been covering numbers, so that would be a definite possibility for me here. The next game is a intriguing matchup between the New York Giants and my Chicago Bears. The Bears are 6-point favorites at home. The total is 44.5. Kind of a little bit of controversy at the end of the game for the Bears against the Rams, where they inexplicably, or they tried to explain it later, they benched Mitchell Trubisky for the last drive for Chase Daniel after Trubisky was pretty bad again. Both these teams are awful, so I don't know if I can back the Bears with 6 points, even at home.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely do not want to look to lay points with this team. I don't know if I want to take them with the Giants, though, either. They've been playing poorly lately, and Daniel Jones has been a turnover machine, although he is currently being outdueled by Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston is destroying it. Phillip Rivers tried the other night.
Yeah, true.
Okay, well, that's a stay-away game.
Yeah.
The Beloved hopefully will win the game, but God, man, it's like one of these things. The Giants stink, and the Bears should beat them, but an offense can't score. All right, the next one. Broncos at Buffalo Bills. The Bills got back on track. They beat up the Dolphins, kind of like you thought. They are 4-point favorites at home, the very low total of 37. So this is definitely one of those really ugly NFL games that we could maybe turn away from. But would you be into backing the Bills at home, laying the 4 points?
No, I don't think so. I was actually leaning towards Denver in this game. Brandon Allen has actually surprised me a little bit with his ability to move around in the pocket. And they've been running the ball a lot better lately behind Philip Lindsay and that offensive line. And I actually think that Denver might have a little bit of success running the ball this weekend at Buffalo. And catching 4 points in such a low total game, it's currently looking like 37.5 across the board, is pretty valuable. So I would lean to Denver. What do you think about that?
I mean, I've backed Denver before. I've talked to you about it. I think that they have a good defense. It just late game situations. They were up 20-0 at Minnesota and lost. I mean, I don't know. I know that Minnesota's a better team, but it was just kind of weird. You know, they just didn't close that game out, didn't make good decisions down the stretch. So certainly getting the points is better than laying them. Buffalo's defense hasn't been that great, so I hear what you're saying here. It's just a tough one. I'm not sure what to believe on this one. I would put it as second tier pick.
Okay. That's fair.
But I would consider it if we're, you know, on that fifth selection, we could look at it again. The next game is the Dolphins. They're 10.5-point dogs at Cleveland. Cleveland got the win against the Steelers. A little surprising to me. Obviously, they're going to be without Myles Garrett, who's a big guy. But 44-point total, 44.5 with a 10.5-point favorite is kind of out of whack, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one game where you almost just have to close your eyes, pick the Dolphins, and move on. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll take it, but I mean, that's definitely the right side. I can't take Cleveland, you know, laying 10.5 against anybody. Mm-hmm. So, again, another one of those second tier hold your nose picks. The next one I like a little better. Oakland is their 3-point favorites at the Jets. The total is 46. I'd be on Oakland here. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I was leaning to the Jets.
Yeah.
I think this is a really tough spot for Oakland. They have been traveling so much this season, and they're back at home last week and were failed to cover against the Bengals, which was kind of a surprising outcome in my mind. And now they're going across the country and they're playing the Jets in that early time slot. It's a 1 p.m. Eastern kickoff, and historically, teams from the West do not play well in that time slot. So it's
very true. That very true. It's a common handicap.
That would be one way I would lean towards in this game.
Gotcha. I mean, the only thing I would say about Oakland is they have a model. They're playing a certain style, and I really like that about them this year. I was against them. In fact, they're one win away of – I'm only at a push right now in their season total. They're probably going to go over. It was six. And they just run the ball, man. They come out of the bus running the ball, and the Jets' defense has been okay. But it seems like Oakland is just going to do what they do, and the defense has been good enough to win games, obviously. They're in the playoff hunt. I mean, they're only a game out of first place in the West.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an important game for the Raiders. It would be better if the line was smaller – you know, of course, if they were getting points. But, yeah, we can stay away from this one. But I don't see myself back in the Jets in this spot.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that Oakland defense is just so bad, and mm-hmm. I'm not sure they're going to be able to stop the Jets offense.
Right. The next one is the Steelers at Cincinnati. Steelers are 6.5-point favorites on the road with another low total, 39.5. It's kind of tough, man. I don't know. Is Rudolph playing? Are they playing Duck? What's his name? Duck?
Duck Hodges.
Duck Hodges? Is he playing this week?
No, I believe it is going to be Rudolph. He escaped any suspension, but they did levy a hefty fine on him. But as far as I know, he's going to be out there under center for the Steelers.
So you're missing Pouncey, who is the center, right?
Yep.
Cincinnati has played, God, they played terrible when we backed them, and then last week they played pretty good. I don't know, man. This is just an ugly game all around. Yeah. I'd say pass, but what do you think?
I would lean to the Steelers. I think that their defense has been rising up every week since Minkah Fitzpatrick joined them. And
yes.
Going against that Cincinnati offense, I'm just not sure how Cincinnati is going to score in this game. So
right.
I think you're getting a little bit of value there, laying just under the touchdown with the Steelers.
Okay. I mean, I have liked the Steelers, you know, in general, but but that is a maybe.
Okay.
The next one I am bullish on, so hopefully we're on the same side here. I want the Seahawks here. The Seahawks, you're showing them as they're the 1.5-point dogs, right?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah, so they're getting 1.5 on the road, 48.5 total at the Eagles. I don't see the fly Eagles fly situation here, and I think that if anybody can exploit that secondary, it's Russell Wilson. And the Eagles haven't really stopped the run that well either. So, you know, I think the Seahawks smash in this spot. So I'm a little surprised by this total or this line.
Yeah, it is a little fishy. I agree. But
it's dropped to a pick on Bet Online from what I can see.
Yeah, so a couple of pick-ems here. Five Dimes also listed a pick. So I agree with you. I think that Seattle could be a fine play here. It's certainly a big game in the NFC. The Eagles really need it to stay in the race for that division because it certainly looks like they're going to be shut out of the wild card race.
Right. Isn't Seattle like 7-1 on the road in their last eight games or something like that?
They certainly have. The spread? They have been playing a lot better on the road this year, whereas in years past they were dominant at home. So it's kind of flipped this season, kind of an odd trend for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Next game is Detroit going to Washington. You're listing Detroit as a 3.5-point favorite?
Correct.
And 41.5 total. I mean, I'd consider backing Detroit here. I mean, Washington stinks, right? I mean, you were on it last week. I didn't follow you with the Jets, and it really burned me anyway. Haskins, he's no good. Detroit's defense isn't great, but, I mean, the only caveat I would say is that AP could probably run on this Lions defense, but Driscoll's been decent.
Yeah. I've been impressed by Driscoll, too, and you're right. I just don't see how the Redskins' offense is going to be able to do much on that side of the ball. Haskins has been awful this season, and I like this Detroit team. You saw Scarborough come in and run all over last weekend, so
yeah.
I expect that they're going to play that same style of football here against the Redskins, and I could go with the Lions for sure.
Okay. The next one is Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta is favored in this game by 4 points, which is rightfully so. Total is 51.5. By the way, I'm putting that under. I know that Atlanta's defense is balling, so I don't know what they're doing. I guess we can talk about it. Did you hear what's going on? That it was Raheem Morris or something?
Uh-huh.
Is that his name?
Yeah, he was coaching the wide receivers for some inexplicable reason, where he's coached DBs his entire career.
Right. And then they switch it, and all of a sudden they're great. So I don't know if that's the only reason, but, you know, Tampa usually can score, but Jameis stinks. You know, he's just throwing the ball up. And you know, I'd be on Atlanta at 4.5 or 4 at home and the under in this game.
Yeah, I definitely like the under. In fact, I locked it in over the weekend at like 53 or 53.5. It seemed a little bit too high for me. Although Tampa is 8-2 to the over this season, so certainly going to be a very interesting outcome there. But I don't know if I can get to the window with Atlanta here. This is a tough spot for them. Divisional game on the road, and I think it's probably going to be coming down to a field goal in either direction. Just screams like a close game to me.
But they're at home, right?
Yes, it is at Atlanta, right.
Okay. I got you. No problem. How about this one? Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee, they're 3-point favorites. Coming off the bye, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
41.5 is the total. I definitely like the Titans here. I know I'm going all chalk here, but besides the Seahawks, but I definitely like the Titans in this spot.
Yeah, I agree. Jacksonville looked pretty demoralized last week, and Nick Foles certainly rusty. So although he'll have another week of practice under his belt, I think that Tennessee coming off the bye should be able to run the ball quite a bit with Derrick Henry. And Tannehill has actually been really good since he took over as a starter. So I'm with you. I like Tennessee here.
Yeah, they should have done it 2 weeks earlier. They'd be in the top of the division.
Mm-hmm. True.
Dallas is at New England. This is a marquee game. Should be a great game, actually. The Cowboys are getting 6.5 points at New England. The total is 46. What say you in this one?
I would have to lean to the Cowboys here. I was really hoping to see a 7 pop up, but 6.5 is still a large number. And the way that this New England offense has been playing lately, I'm not sure that they're capable of covering a number like this against the Cowboys. I think that that New England run game has been stunted. And even though the Dallas defense is not quite what we expected it would be this season, I expect that they'll be a little bit successful against Brady and company. What do you think?
I can't go against Belichick at home.
Okay.
Not with the clapper. I mean, the Cowboys are a mystery of science to me. This team, we've seen it in the metrics, really great offense this year. The defense is bad. I don't know why. You know, they did cover, right? They covered against the Lions, but they gave up a ton of points. I mean, it's just bizarre to me. When you don't trust them, they do well, and you trust them, you know, they kind of screw you. So it's one of these teams that you really liked them for the Super Bowl. They have talent on this team.
Yeah.
I just don't trust Garrett in game situations, and I do trust Belichick. It's 7 points or 6.5, 7. It is a lot of points, but I think one way or another, New England's going to get that done.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. You've got the number one Dallas offense versus the number one New England defense. So I think it's one of two games in the afternoon window this weekend, and should be fascinating to watch. Can't wait.
Absolutely. The next one is Green Bay at San Francisco. Big marquee matchup of division leaders. The Packers are getting 3.5 points. Total's 47. Tough one, man. Tough game. The Niners have not looked the same the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, that's against two pretty mobile quarterbacks. It's more that their offensive line hasn't held up as well either. The Packers have just kind of been that team this year. They've kind of defied the metrics. I don't know, man. I don't know which side to pick in this one.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Earlier in the week, I was really leaning towards San Francisco in this game, but speaking of injuries, I've read recently that it looks like Kittle is going to be unable to play again, and Emmanuel Sanders is looking doubtful. So without those two guys, this offense certainly is not quite as formidable in the passing game. And although I do think that they're going to be able to run the ball all over Green Bay, I know that Breida is questionable, but as long as Tevin Coleman and Mostert are in there, I think that the Niners should be able to run the ball quite a bit. But 3.5 is certainly a number I'm not looking to lay in our contest picks.
Yeah, exactly. Bad number. Okay, well, the last game is the Ravens at the Rams. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites. 46 is the total. I don't see how you don't back the Ravens here. I know it's like the flavor of the month, and literally, and they are playing incredibly, but it's more about an indictment on mean, Jared Goff looks terrible.
Yeah.
And this offense is bad. The Rams defense might be able to hang a little bit better than some teams, but the Ravens have just been making plays and playing ball. I'd be on the Ravens here.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like a really tough spot for them. I would probably want to go contrarian here and play on the Rams, especially at 3.5. Baltimore's defense.
Drop to 3, yeah, I can see.
Baltimore's defense has been playing a lot better lately. They were great again this past weekend against Deshaun Watson and the Texans. But I do think that this is a home run spot for the Rams. You've got the Ravens flying across the country for a Monday nighter. But we could certainly pass on it if you're not comfortable with that side.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to find some. It looks like we've got New Orleans and Seattle feeling good. We probably, and the Titans, that's 3. So then it's a matter of we picking between Denver, Detroit.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we can stay away from it then. We got enough to choose from there, I guess.
Well, we can certainly watch the injury reports too and see how this one's looking. But I feel like Baltimore is due for a lackluster performance. They've been so on the last several weeks.
Yeah, we thought that was going to happen against Cincinnati. And then last week, God, they just pummeled Houston. I mean, everybody's talking, oh, they're the Super Bowl favorites now or something. You know, they're obviously Lamar Jackson's MVP stock is way up. But you got to figure the Rams. I mean, they have a lot of talent, especially, you know, in defense too. I just don't – that offense, something's up, man. And maybe the Ravens aren't that good. I mean, the Bears' defense is pretty solid. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I mean, I think the way to beat the Ravens is to keep – Lamar Jackson off the field, and they just the Rams don't seem to be committed to the run like they have in the past.
Yeah, I did notice that Gurley got quite a bit of higher workload on Sunday night than he had it a few weeks prior, so that was something I took note of while I was kind of watching the game.
having fun. So, okay, well, I mean, we got some picks there. We'll have to narrow it down come Saturday morning, but that essentially wraps up our episode here, episode 53 of the Side Action Podcast. So thanks, everybody, for listening and bearing with us for a little bit later in the week, given my stuff. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Awesome. Well, everybody, and enjoy the games this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going to start studying for that fourth quarter, Wegs. We're going to put our game faces on and really go after the prize.
That's right. Let's win that 143. I could use that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Peace out, everybody. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. License under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.